Dellingpole, 2020 is the year we storm the green barricades. By James Dellingpole on January 3, 2020. This is the year we storm the green barricades. If you don't like the sound of that we, fine, I'll take them on my own. But I suspect that quite a few of you feel as angry about this thing as I do. The green blob, aka the climate industrial complex, is one of the most insidiously dangerous and oppressive forces in the world today, and it's time we hit back hard. Green ideology is evil. It's killing our jobs, it's brainwashing our kids, and stealing their future. It's despoiling our landscapes, it's murdering our wildlife. It's corrupting honest science, it's enriching the most disgusting, cynical people in crony capitalism. It's driving up the cost of living, it's holding back our economies, it's hamstringing business, it's burning our homes. How dare these nauseating green zealots try to lecture us on how to save the planet when they're the ones doing so much of the harm? Latest case in point are the bushfires ravaging Australia. Every month, every week, every day practically, there's a story somewhere in the world that captures the wanton idiocy of the green movement. One day it's some widely promulgated lie about threatened polar bear populations. The next it's a David Attenborough documentary misleading viewers about walruses threatened by climate change. The next it's fake news about the Amazon fires. This week, it just so happens, the eye of Green Sauron has decided to fix on Australia's bushfires and use them as an excuse to ramp up the scare about climate change. As I demonstrate pretty comprehensively here, the Australian bushfires have nothing to do with climate change. The reason they are so widespread and intense, rather, is the result of misguided green policy. So you can see why the greenies might be wanting to distract from this by pointing the blame elsewhere. But you'd be amazed, or rather you probably wouldn't. Actually, how many supposedly intelligent people have chosen to buy into and promulgate the lie? Here in the UK, for example, is the editor of the Times literary supplement, Stig Abel. Here is conservative journalist Daniel Johnson, son of legendary lefty-turned-right-wing author. Journalist and polymath Paul, mystifying readers of his online conservative imprint The Article by arguing that the bushfires are a sign we should abandon fossil fuels. Australians cannot be blamed for the much larger climate impact of huge economies such as China, India and the US. But the bushfires do feel like a turning point. Coal represents only a small proportion of Australia's energy and mineral resource exports, less than 10% of a total of $278 billion. Does it really make sense to invest heavily in a sector that is not only environmentally damaging but may not have a long-term future? A national debate is urgently needed about how those who depend on the extraction industries can be reconciled with those who do not, so that a new consensus can be built that protects both Australia's unique ecology and its prosperity. Australians must listen to the voice of conscience that speaks from their burning bush. So, too, as we contemplate the tragic loss of flora and fauna, should the rest of humanity. Here is a cartoon from the newspaper at least formerly read by the establishment, The Times of London. Oh, and here, because, of course you were all dying to get Hollywood's take on this, is Bette Midler. Obviously, if we try to list all the influential public figures, aka useful idiots, who are ignorantly and irresponsibly promoting the climate scare, we'd be here for many months. But that's exactly my point. Green groupthink is now so dominant in Western culture that it's starting to feel like the final scene in Invasion of the Body Snatchers. None of the useful idiots I've just singled out above, well, not the top three at least, is remotely stupid. Yet each has found it convenient not to do his homework. To ignore the facts and glibly promulgate the climate change narrative regardless of the actual evidence. Truly, climate change is the new Western religion, and as zealous and intolerant of heresy as any of the old religions. And I think the time has come for us to stop letting these people get a free ride. Whether they are full-on enviro-loon activists like Extinction Rebellion or merely fellow travelers of convenience on the green gravy train, we need to stop indulging them and make it clear that what they are doing to our civilization, our economies, and our freedoms is unacceptable. Let me give you another example of the scale of the problem and the urgency of the need for a counter-revolution, courtesy of writer, journalist and zoologist Matt Ridley. Matt, who sits in the House of Lords as Lord Ridley, is one of only a handful of figures in public life who has dared to take on the green blob. In this article for Reaction Life, he describes a recent guest appearance on the BBC's flagship political news show, Radio 4's Today programme. Ridley was only there on sufferance, because 4 guest editor slots had been given to greenies and lefties. Including Greta Thunberg, the BBC permitted one solitary show to be guest edited by a conservative journalist, Charles Moore. Ridley made some good points about the climate change scare, all of them factually accurate. But in the interests of balance, the BBC then interviewed a professional climate alarmist, former government chief science advisor Sir David King, who was allowed to spout a load of eco-propaganda nonsense, unchallenged. I sat there open-mouthed as he beautifully demonstrated my point with one exaggeration after another. He said that Europe's dash for diesel had nothing to do with Greens, when Green pressure groups pushed actively for it. He said that we will see 1 to 2 meters of sea level rise this century, when the current rate of rise is 3.4 millimeters a year with no acceleration, or 0.3 meters per century. He said that all of Greenland's ice cap might melt and could cause 5 to 6 meters of sea level rise. Though at current rates of melting, Greenland's ice cap will be 99% intact in 2100. He said that wildfires were being caused by trees dying out because of rising temperatures, rather than a failure to manage increasingly luxuriant vegetation in fire risk areas leading to a buildup of tinder. He said scientists are agreed that Calcutta will have to be moved, when the Ganges Delta is actually expanding in area, not shrinking. So here you have a significant problem, Britain's de facto state broadcaster, still taken seriously by a worrying percentage of the population, is pumping out not environmental news but pure green propaganda. And almost no one is correcting it or gainsaying it. But it gets worse. Normally, you might expect the print media, at least the conservative print media, to counter the BBC's relentlessly leftist green narrative. It rarely does, though, because its editors are running scared. What readers of newspapers and listeners to the radio do not see is the sustained and deliberate pressure put on editors to toe the alarmist line on climate change. Take Bob Ward, who works at the London School of Economics, where his salary is paid by a billionaire, Jeremy Grantham. Ward is not employed to do research, but to communicate climate science. He chooses to interpret this as a duty to put pressure on the media to censor people like me. He complains to the Times almost every time I mention climate change, often getting his facts wrong, and kicked up a huge fuss when the Times, after publishing half a dozen of his letters, declined to publish another one. Recently, he has taken to complaining to the Independent Press Standards Organization. Whenever Charles Moore, James Dellingpole, David Rose, the late Christopher Booker, I or any other journalist writes an article arguing against exaggerated climate alarmism in one of the newspapers self-regulated by IPSO, he sends in a detailed and lengthy complaint. He never complains about the myriad alarmist mistakes that appear all the time, like articles saying that the science tells us 6 billion people are going to die soon because of climate change. Yes. Can confirm. Britain is a country that prides itself on its robust, fearless free press. Yet in the field of the environment and climate change, it has sold a pass completely. In some cases because the editors and writers are already fully on board with the green narrative. In others because they are not prepared to go through the hassle of yet another vexatious complaint submitted to IPSO. Think of all those stories British newspapers ran last year standing up to bullying billionaires like Sir Philip Green, railing against gagging orders, and then congratulating themselves on their own crusading courage. So how come they're prepared to give another billionaire, one who doesn't even live in the UK, Jeremy Grantham, carte blanche effectively to gag the UK print media on the entire field of climate change? Britain's newspapers are guilty here not just of cowardice, but of something even more reprehensible in the media, repeatedly misunderstanding and misrepresenting one of the biggest stories of our age. Just to return briefly to Australian bushfires story, because it's the most recent, why aren't the correspondents of the Mail, the Telegraph, the Times and the Sun all over it, reporting on every last detail of this crying global scandal? The warnings over a period of decades from experts in forest management, the green activists deliberately preventing controlled burning, the arsonists, quite possibly motivated by eco-activism, the total, utter lack of evidence showing any connection with climate change. Environmentalism, never forget, is a totalitarian ideology inimical to the freedoms and prosperity of Western civilization. Our media, our elites, Our politicians are betraying us hideously on this most important of issues. They are allowing a small but shrill minority of green activists and bent scientists to get away with murder by permitting their lies to go unchallenged. My mission in 2020 is to blow this scam wide open. I'm shortly going to be announcing a project with which you might want to help me. James Delling Pohl is the host of the Delling Pod.